This past week, I enjoyed an opportunity to hear a rabbi here in San Diego talk about the name and the character of God. The rabbi shared a story about some people who were tremendously excited concerning human scientific and technological capabilities. These people went to God and said, "You know, God, we love you and we respect you and all that, but we came to tell you that we don't need you anymore." "Oh," replied God, "and how is it that you don't need me anymore?" Well, they explained, "The big thing is that you were always the one who created human beings, but now we figured out how to do what you did. We learned how to create a human being." "Really," said God, "will you show me?" So these people scooped up some dust of the earth. Maybe it was mud, dirt, soil. They began to manipulate it and shape it and form it. Said God, "Use your own dirt." This story actually fits quite well with the long tradition of Jewish stories about humanity's tendency to go astray or to think we know better than God or to decide we don't need God or to put something other than God in God's place. These stories dwell at the heart of a living faith community of which, as our Holy Scriptures insist and celebrate, we are blessed to be a part. The human tendency to mistrust God and God's way, to disavow God's goodness, or to forget God's past steadfast love and kindness, or to worship something other than God, is revealed, among other places, in these ancient stories about the people of God journeying through the wilderness after God had liberated them from slavery in Egypt. As you heard me remind the children, and as they demonstrated so effectively just now, the people of God, having escaped from under the angry eye of a mighty and oppressive power, and having passed through a body of water which might easily have drowned them, were then being fed manna and quail, which literally came to them in the desert. They didn't have to do anything but collect it. When they were thirsty, Moses struck a rock and refreshment poured forth. The shining cloud of God's presence was guiding them forward each day, and yet chronically they grumbled. They doubted God's motives. They became enchanted by the glittering false promises of people and powers that they met along the way as they traveled. They decided that they would make their own God in the shape of a golden calf, a God surely who would not expect so much of them. If a group of people with such solid experience of God's power, God's grace and reliability, if a group of people like that could stumble and succumb to the seductive view that they didn't need God or could decide not to want God anymore, then it's pretty clear that the temptation to reject God is a fierce and pervasive one. This is the warning that Paul tries to make as he writes a letter to the followers of Jesus in Corinth. "Don't be smug," he basically tells them. "Don't think that because you know Christ, it doesn't matter what you do or how you live. Don't think that somehow you're exempt from the risk of this." Sorry, this is getting worse and worse. "I want you to know it doesn't hurt. It just isn't coming out the way it should." And I have a throat drop in my mouth, and I'm drinking water, and there just is no way to make it sound smooth. So, sorry if you're only catching every third word. "Don't think that because you know Christ, it doesn't matter what you do or how you live," Paul wrote. "Don't think that somehow you're exempt from the risk of being swayed off course or forgetting where your gratitude and your worship are best directed." Paul wanted anyone setting out to live the life of faith, which can at times be not like a journey through the wilderness, to know that we never outgrow the need to study the examples of the past. We never outgrow the need to increase an understanding of how our actions affect others. We never outgrow the need to be vigilant regarding all the influence that would want to tempt us away from our ultimate reliance on God. If you think you're standing, watch out that you do not fall, he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, after reciting this familiar litany of ways that our ancestors did lose sight of the value of their life with God. You're going to want to work and to look to God constantly for strength and for guidance, he advises, because the events and the pressures of life will tempt you to turn your face away from God. Paul's encouragement is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 13 through 17, and you could always feel